It's time to get real with Mike Murphy. Take off the blinders and wake up to what is going on in the world. Mike is sharing unfiltered truth so you, the listener, can make your own decisions and cut through the noise of what mainstream media is saying. Mike is bringing you real news, real problems, real solutions, and real hope. Question everything. Open your mind, own your power, and get real now with Mike Murphy.
Good afternoon or good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Where are you? Wherever you are in the world, today is Wednesday, August the 19th, 2020. It's 5:03 p.m. Pacific. If you're with us live, if you're watching one of the archived versions, welcome to you as well. We're glad you're here. You know, we do this show. It's a daily 1 hour, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We go from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific. And I try to bring you the news stories that I think are important that are going to affect your life, my life, our family's life, and then try to work out some things, some solutions to how we can end up in a better place, no matter what's coming at us. You know, what we can do as individuals and as families and communities to protect ourselves for these crazy times that lie ahead. So it's interesting that I'm actually pre-recording this. So full disclosure, it's actually Tuesday morning for me, and I'm preparing the Tuesday night show with all the news stories, which I'm going to do in a few hours. But I had to pre-record this. As you know, I love the golf, and I have a big golf tournament coming up on Thursday. So Wednesday I'll be traveling to it, and I won't be available to do the live show. And just to give you a little idea how I like the role in my life is I got this email, right? It says, Mike, introducing myself. I'm here to serve our regenerating society and life on our planet because it's effed up. I've been a leader, peak performance practitioner, and stress management facilitator since the 80s and presented on 5 continents. Contact me if you feel that I may help. So I'd say about 5 or 6 years ago, I read a great book by a Michael Singer called The Surrender Experiment. And it pretty much said, say yes to life. And here was a guy, all he wanted to do is he was in Florida. And this is, we're going back to, you know, the 60s and the 70s. And he was a meditator and he was a New Ager and all that. And he just wanted to go out into the Everglades in Florida and meditate and be alone and be at peace. And then all of a sudden things started to happen to him. And someone said, hey, you know, I like the house you build. Could you build me a house? He goes into town one day. He sees a brand new computer at a Radio Shack. And he ends up becoming a computer programmer. He just said yes to whatever showed up in his life. And since reading that book, you know, I was already kind of living my life like that. But after reading this book, and by the way, the guy became a billionaire. I'm not doing that, doing this to become a billionaire, but that without any intention of becoming a billionaire, just by saying yes to life, all these marvelous things show up. So I've been living like this for a long period of time now. And so when I get an email like that, I go, okay, obviously there's something here, right? Something, you know, I wrote the book, The Creation Frequency, some sort of vibration, energy, frequency brought this email to me. Of course, I do check the guy out a little bit, make sure he's not crazy and have a phone conversation, make sure we're on the same page. But I always like to say yes to everything that comes into my life as much as I can. And I find that it, you know, I believe that if we get out of our way, you know, life is like a lazy river. It's more like a rapid right now. But in the past, it's been more like a lazy river. And if we can just let go and let go of our story, live in our heart, jump into this lazy river and let life take it where it wants to take us without resistance and fighting back, well, we're going to open ourselves up to some amazing experiences and an amazing way to live. I find it more freeing than scary. You would think it would be scary, but I find it freeing. You know, my wife always gets frustrated. We're getting on a plane and she'll ask me, you know, where are we staying? When I don't know, I haven't booked it yet. You know, because, you know, if they have Wi-Fi on the plane, I'm going to book it on the plane. If not, I'll book it when I get there. So that's kind of how I live my life. And it's it takes a little while for my loved ones to get used to it if they're new to living with me. But it's a great way to live. So anyways, the fellow's name, whose email I just read, his name is Kurt Kruger, and I'm going to welcome him to the show right now. Let him introduce himself. Kurt, how are you?
I'm doing great. I am so blessed to be wherever I am. I've been on a hijacked airplane in 1977, and I got in the deepest state of meditation I've ever been in. You talk about saying yes. My twin brother, identical twin, he asked me to be able to enter the Senior Olympics. I had not trained in over 11 years. I ended up winning 4 gold medals. Why? Well, some students that I was teaching at a ghetto school in Los Angeles asked me that same question. And I said, well, I've been meditating. I've been eating differently than you. And I also do some visualization. I taught these guys how to do it. They were both athletes. One guy went from a 6'6" high jumper to 7'1" in three months. What a great performance, right? I started putting it together more and more. I ended up founding the Institute of Sports Psychology, had five offices of it all over the world, and so on and so forth. Things went from there. Why? Again, it's all about positivity, because what you focus on is what you get. If you think you can't do something, you probably are right. And everybody knows that. And you use the word like, if we do this. The power of the word is so powerful that what happens is, well, it might happen. When you said, when we do this, it's like, if I want to put effort into life, I can say, I got to work at it, or I'm working at it, or I'm trying. Instead, we say, I get to. Why? Because you get to do it because you want to obviously improve, and get to do it because you know that's going to improve your life. Simple as that. So that's a fair start. Any questions?
Yeah, well, one, you said something right out of the get-go there. In 1977, you were on a hijacked plane. I'd like to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, I have been studying in India with a man named Swami Muktananda. I lived in his ashram for a year. I toured with him about 3 years, wanting to learn basically yoga and meditation and the whole Eastern philosophy and the culture, because I was teaching world history and I was also teaching government and so on. So I went over there on a study leave of absence. I took courses and I did all that I could to absorb it from living in a tiny little village, and to absorb that life instead of just the city life. Because in those days, people were wearing polyester clothes in Bombay. Polyester makes you sweat like a greased pig. Whereas I was wearing the cottons and the silks, which allows your body to breathe, and you don't get so wet as you would if you were in these kind of polyesters. So I'm learning all this, and I was going to bring it back. And I get onto this plane, and I, again, had some intuition that I shouldn't get on that plane. I had been waiting an hour and a half or 2 hours because it was delayed. But there was a feeling in me that said I shouldn't go. But I was late to go teach because I had a skin problem there and had to put off. And so I said, I'm going to get on the plane, even though I didn't feel like it. Well, 45 minutes after takeoff, five guys run down the aisles yelling and screaming something. And I thought, oh, you go, Volt. I didn't say that exactly. But I knew what was happening. You can't do anything about it. You can't say, excuse me, let me off here. 45 minutes or so, 15 minutes later, the head hijacker with another guy with an automatic weapon in one hand and a hand grenade in the other come up to our second class section and had us put our hands behind our head and said, don't move and don't talk. And everybody, I believe, was probably putting bullets in them through their eyes. And so he said, close your eyes or don't look at me. So ultimately, they said that I said, excuse me, sir, could we put our arms down? That was 45 minutes after we had our hands back, because I saw these old people. I was only 33.
What year was this again, in the late 70s?
77. Okay. Japanese Red Army took over the plane. I found out that the Japanese Red Army later. Yeah, there's a lot of coincidences that happen.
Okay, but you stayed calm by meditating, and asked this guy to, so fast forward just a little bit. So how did that end up?
I ended up getting off first off the plane. There's much more interesting things that it's written up in the Winning Ways for Living. It's one of the first three or so stories in the book.
That's a book that you wrote?
Winning Ways for Living. Dig this. I had planned on it being a bestseller. I knew it was going to be a bestseller. I did all the things that I usually do. The problem with that is I'm always teaching people to be number one, to be the best they can be. And I thought bestseller was cool instead of being number one bestseller. I was on the bestseller list within 3 weeks. So that was with two books that I posted. I had four books on the posted total, and two out of the four, the first and the fourth, which is the compilation volume, were basically bestsellers.
So, tell us. So you were in your 30s. What led you to get to this, to be a meditator? Where were you at in your career at that point? What were you doing?
Well, I was, I've been a teacher since 1969. I've taught in the ghettos of Los Angeles for about 45 years, ultimately. But I also have taught at universities all around the world. I've given programs at Oxford Medical School, at the United Nations. I gave a stress management program.
Are you still teaching now, or are you mostly coaching, or what do you do with your time now?
I'm doing instruction to people personally, and sometimes I'll do Zoominars type of a thing.
Okay.
It really depends. I consult with companies all over the place.
Okay.
I've done that with universities. My real focus is on getting these kind of things into education. So I designed a program called Peak Performance for Academics and Sports, and taught for a number of years teachers in Los Angeles School District.
It was let me ask you something about what's going on in the world today, as far as in Los Angeles schools, as far as racism. What, from your viewpoint, what's up with this racism, this BLM, and all this stuff from your experience as a teacher there in the inner city?
If you were raised being told you're this way or that way, if you were raised by a father who the only way he learned to be able to show love was to be beaten, because his father, after he would beat him, said, "I only do this because I love you." Imagine that. But
I'm white and I had a similar experience. I mean, so I think that's kind of a universal experience, you know. Concerned with the racism, what's really going on in the inner community. I think, from my opinion, it looks to me like the problem is there's not enough fathers. In fact, 75% of these kids grow up without a father.
Look at that father issue. The biggest issue with that was this thing called three strikes, you're out.
Exactly.
The drug wars.
Exactly.
And they put all the fathers in the...
Yeah.
And then the people are in jail. They're working for nothing.
Yeah.
They got slaves again in jail.
Yeah.
What's the percentage of black and white? I gave a program on meditation to Swedish prison wardens and priests in 1983. And they have a 20% recidivism rate. We have 80% recidivism rate. 80% of our people go back to prison. Why? We don't rehabilitate them. We don't train them. We don't try to be able to get them to change. But when you learn to meditate inside, you go inside, you find out who you really are, that there is some peace in life. You feel calmer. You feel better. You're less angry.
Yeah.
And you're able to be able to function better in life.
What was that movie where the fighter got put in prison? And Bob Dylan wrote a really long, beautiful song about it. Was an African-American fighter in New Jersey, and he was charged with a murder he didn't commit. Oh, shoot. Okay, I can't remember. Because basically the bottom line of the film, he did like 20 years in prison for a crime he didn't commit, but he was able to go inside, turn off, you know, and find peace. I think we can find peace in any situation, like you found it on that hijacked plane. So
that's why I talk stress management.
In today's world, everybody's under stress because of this COVID-19, the economic collapse. There's a lot of fear, people wearing masks. We're in uncharted territory. So what would you say to the viewer, the listener here today, you know, how to go inside, how to turn off this insane asylum and move inside into the body and live it with peace?
Okay, it's written in my book called Switching. It's a practice in winning ways for living. It got that name, Roller Coaster Fingers, because I taught this program in LA Unified, and a kindergarten teacher comes back the next week to the class, and she says, the kids love it. They call it Roller Coaster Fingers. So hold your left hand up in front of you just like this. Put your right forefinger against the baby. As you breathe in, you go up. As you breathe out, you go down. You're going to go all the way across and back. And as we go in and across, we're paying attention to the movement and sound of our breath, where the breath merges and emerges, where the breath merges and emerges. And we do it at our rate. And then I also teach them on the way back, you can add a cue word, that's what they call it in psychology. You can add a mantra, or you could add whatever prayer that you like, or what if it's a really succinct one, or you can add love. When you concentrate, when you calm your breathing like we just did, it calms the heart rate. When you calm the heart rate, it calms the brain waves. When you do the other at the same time, it's like burning a candle at both ends, and you get into a calmer state of mind so easily.
But let me ask you this on a personal, this is a serious personal question that I'm going to ask you right now. I have a 40-year-old daughter who's married. I love her to death. She has four amazing, beautiful children, and she's afraid to get on a plane for the last 30 years. And so she's missed out on so much in life. How does she overcome this?
I had my second wife from Sweden. She was a psychiatric nurse. She's over in Sweden, and I brought her over here. But she, after a number of years being here, she for some reason got agoraphobia. She could not leave the house. Then I got her out to the doorstep. Then I got her a little bit further. Slowly but surely, we even walked around the block and slow. And then she could drive in this car, but only this car, and so on and so forth. There's a book called, there's an article, a practice in Winning Ways for Living that is called switching. It switches negative ideas, negative habits into positive ones. So let's say I'm always afraid, or let's say I'm always sad, because so many people are sad these days. They can't do anything. They can't go anywhere. They don't get to talk with their friends. They don't get to give hugs. None of this. It's a sad state of mind if you keep there. So if you start to feel sad, immediately you can do the switching practice. And you do this, it's a psychosomatic spiritual practice. And in it, you are able to break that habit and you turn it around and then you seal it in your body. And it allowed a boy, when I first started doing this many, many years ago, who was sucking his thumb at the age of 14. I asked him after class if he wanted to stop. I guided him through and so on and so forth. Within 2 weeks, he was done. People with PTSD, people with this kind of agoraphobia kind of thing, or flight kind of thing, the altitude or what, there's all kinds of things that can be helped with this when people practice it. But it only works when you practice it. It's like this, the 12-step programs, one step at a time, it works when you work it type of a thing. Right. Great little phrases, and they work when you work it.
Right.
When you don't work it, you fall down and stub your toe again.
So what would be step number one? Right now, someone's scared to death that they're going to get COVID-19. They're social distancing. They're wearing their mask, but they're still afraid. What would be step number one to switch that?
Every time you feel this fear, do the switching practice.
Which is tell me how the switching practice would work for that person.
Take your hands straight up like this. Now that hands are straight up, and we're going to, as soon as I have that thought of fear, I cross my hands so they point to the opposite side.
Okay.
And I say, switch. Switch inwardly. I can say it outwardly if I'm alone, otherwise people think you're crazy. Then you take your left hand facing you, right palm against it, and you switch saying, why am I so confident? Or why am I so happy? Now I say, why am I so happy? Because that's an affirmation.
Yeah.
Because if I were to say, I am happy or I am confident, your mind is saying, no, you're not. You're scared to death.
Right.
So we don't need that fighting in our head, because I'm against separation. I'm against unity. I'm for unity against separation. There's not even against it. I'm working with it to be able to bring us together. So again, I'm moderating my words because they are so powerful. The word was made flesh. People think it's all about Jesus. It's all about how we manifest life.
Well, if you read Genesis, God spoke this universe into, they spoke this world into existence using the word.
He also said what to eat. The only place in the Bible it says about what to eat is in Genesis 29. And it says God gave man fruit bearing seeds and seeds bearing fruit as his meat. And animals as his domain.
Yeah.
So what does that say to you?
Tell us what role, so we have a conscious mind, we have a subconscious mind. What's the difference here?
One controls you unconsciously and one controls you consciously. And when you decide to be in control of your life and you are the creator of your life because you are the child of the creator. And if you are a child of the creator, then you can create the life that you want when you choose to be able to take the force, when you choose to use the force. There's reason for people saying the force or the key or the chi, because that power is in everybody. Some people call it the soul force. You can look at what Lieutenant Kali did in My Lai. It's a horrible force when you use it on the negative. And yet you can also look at the Audie Murphy, who was over in Korea and got to be the most decorated person in the history, and so on and so forth. So we get to use it the way we choose. So we choose the light side because it brings more light and love and happiness. And if somebody wants to say, I deserve this and I deserve that, or I hate this and so I'm going to get back at that. When you get back at that, it's like if I don't like somebody's action and I do the same action to get back at them, I've sucked into them. I've sucked into the dark force. I'm just like them. Who the hell wants to be like them if you don't like them? We want to be able to get them better. And that's why I get to talk with whomever I get a chance to. I don't deal with sides. I deal with the heart.
Right.
Talk from the heart. It's like, hold your hand up. I want us all who are on the line right now, hold your hand up. And I want you to be able to feel connected with us and to be able to just simply be connected so that we feel calmer and better. We may have different thoughts, but we are really one because physics, this incredible science, proves it. And we can look into that if you'd like to. In the 70s, I read a book called The Tao of Physics by Fritzhof Capra. There's also a book called The Dancing Wu Li Masters. When you feel connected with the people online, then you can take your hand out and we can talk and we can do other things. And when we start to feel disconnected with that heart, we can raise up that hand, because then everybody gets to be able to send that love.
Yeah.
Everybody else gets to connect. And this is one of the things on Living Values Education.
Yeah.
Livingvalues.net is by far the best character development program in the world. 90% reduction in violence at a refugee camp within 2 years of implementation.
Is that your site or another site?
My site. Listen, I'm a research. Our company is called Success Systems International because it deals with all the systems that work at you being successful. Now, we've incorporated Mother Nature into it too, because if we don't breathe good air, if we don't eat good food that's unadulterated, if we have pure water, we thrive. The only reason we're not thriving and having so many cancers that so many of them weren't even around is because of GMOs, is because of the poisons they put in the food, and so on and so forth.
So let me ask you this, because this is what I'm all about. You know, it has to do with justice and injustice. And right. Martin Luther King said, "And injustice anywhere is injustice everywhere." Yes. And so in my understanding is, you and me, you know, we're fortunate. We're white, we're born here in America. We had a leg up compared to being born in Palestine or being born in Ethiopia and Nigeria or whatever. You know, I believe that we were born in the greatest country of all time, and we were born in a race and a religion. You know, we had a better chance of survival and success than others. But now you bring up all these things like GMOs. See, you and I are fortunate. We can afford to get good water. We can afford to get good food. We read good books. But how about the people that are just barely getting by and are forced to eat this garbage food because that's all they can afford? See, this is what gets me going and why I'm so passionate about waking people up. How do we stop that?
Good question. There's so many simple ways that can be done for common people, which in America, 75% of the people in America make less than $65,000 a year.
which is not very much money in this country, especially when half of it's taxed.
Half of the people make just $25,000 a year.
Yeah, it's not a living wage.
That's right. We get to take charge of our lives because thank God we have the internet. We can find ways, like grow a garden, whether it's a window garden or whether it's one that you can put in your front yard, backyard, or whatever. When in the 70s, when I lived in North Hollywood, California, in my front yard, I had a garden. I'd go out and pick my food for the day, fresh, right out, just like that.
But okay, I love this, but listen, let's be real. Okay, let's go back to your school teacher in the inner city in Los Angeles, and you have a mother that's working two jobs, okay, trying to keep her kids out of gangs, trying to get them an education. The father's in prison because the United States government has done so much damage in that community. And, you know, she doesn't have time. She doesn't have the money. Well, what does she do?
There's where the tribe comes in. There's where when people come together, there's a book called Tribe by Sebastian Younger. It's an outstanding book that shows that when people come together, it's the best way to get through the Blitz or what we did in Hitler's country. We did the same thing to them in Leipzig and other places. They outproduced the time before the Blitz in Leipzig, they outproduced making more tanks, more weapons than they did before the Blitz. Because when people come together and they have a mission, things get changed. When we have a mission to change things, we can change it. The big key is coming together, uniting, and having the one vision. Now, before any big march Gandhi ever led, he always had everybody pray. He did what is called open sacred space. And I didn't like the opening of the presidential Democratic convention. Why? Because they had a prayer that said Jesus. Christians believe Jesus is God. If they just used God instead of the name Jesus, it meant the same thing. But he used Jesus, which excluded Sikhs, Muslims, Jews, Hindus, so many people. Now, some of those major religions don't believe in God, like Buddhism doesn't have a God. They don't, you know, there's no deity in certain
probably, religions. Probably why it's so pure.
I agree. Yeah. So, the separation is
a big concerned key. With this woman raising these kids, and now she's got this Black Lives Matter movement, this Antifa movement. And she's weary to the bone. She's overweight. She's got probably diabetes or some other illness. And I believe that the problem is all these systems. You know, we're born into a medical system, in a family system, in a religious system, in a financial system, in a government system. And what do we want is freedom. I think we need to start a movement where we become more free and government becomes less big. And then community, tribe can do all these things.
Totally. I've been watching for the last 85 days. It stopped for about a 2.5 week hiatus until September 1st. It's something called Humanity Rising. And it's 2 hours in the morning in California. It's 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock every morning. If you want to be able to be asking questions in the chat box or in the question and answer box, you can do that if you're online at that time.
Is this a YouTube channel?
You can see it on YouTube, but it's on ubiquity.org.
Okay.
ubiverse.org. And you can do it online immediately, or you can see the old ones. I highly recommend that you see the thing on Donut Economics in regard to getting economics to be totally aligned with the triple bottom line. There's also something called B corporations. B basically stands for beneficial for everybody and everything, the workers, the companies, the environment, everything. If it's not so beneficial, it's not done until it has to be stopped or whatever. There are big time changes. Amsterdam, Copenhagen, Cali, Colombia are instigating applying it into their cities. We could do that here in California. I've sent off emails to representatives here in Southern California, and my old hometown of San Fernando, and people can take action. If they want to contact me, I can turn you on to all these things, from donut economics to getting to be able to be empowering your words. I'll give everything up if people want to have it, like I offered you. I'm not charging anything, but if you can pay me something, pay me. I don't care. I'm barely getting by right now in regard to how our family's working because of what's happened, but I've always been taken care of. I got off a hijacked airplane first, didn't I? So when you trust, somehow it happens. And there's a key, but we have to ask for a little help from your friends sometimes. Sometimes you got to ask a little bit more, but you can also serve back. Yeah. If you can't work because of something, you can serve others. Yeah. You can help others. You can help the movement of getting this peace and freedom.
Yeah. Hey, hang on one second. I got to send a little message here to the gardener to quit blowing this this thing. Yeah. This is what we love about live radio, ladies and gentlemen.
It is live, but that'll give me a chance to talk some more. That way you can be quiet.
No, I'm just getting rid of this guy right now.
But the okay. Thing, you catch yourself, like if you catch yourself stressed out, the best thing to do right away is take your to find out where it is. Put your hand at the base of your throat. And then put your finger in the center of your chest, and about 2 inches below your finger is your thymus gland. Your thymus is your modulator of your endocrine system. Right. So it affects that. When you're angry because you're upset or stressed out, like somebody just cut you off and you want to show them their IQ, be like Tarzan. Thump it firmly a few times. It stops the overproduction of adrenaline. That is a toxin if it's not used. And you can't run after them, and you better not. You can't get it out, so it stops the overproduction, and then you start to do simple, right, easy, quick, deep breaths, and that helps to oxygenate the system, which right, helps to reduce the adrenaline in your body, and so on and so forth. If yeah, someone wants to write me on successsystems.international.net, they can ask for stress management. 4 quick techniques, and 1 what I call the foundation technique. The foundation yeah, technique is meditation.
Yeah, well, this is all great stuff, because the way the world is today, we're all extra stressed. We're all got extra stuff going on in our mind. And if we can learn to calm ourselves and stay centered.
Learn to calm ourselves.
What's that?
I'm just coaching you. When we learn to calm ourselves.
When we calm ourselves, then we're more prepared to deal with this stuff. As an individual, we still have to deal with the collective consciousness and the collective insanity. So I have to bring this up, because we had a brief little chat before we started this. You have an identical twin brother.
Yes.
And he's a Trump supporter, and you're not.
Well, I love Trump.
Okay.
I don't like what he does.
Okay. Say that again.
I don't like so much of what he does.
Yeah.
When people were upset about how some people are talking about either Trump or somebody like that, you know, because it's too much.
Yeah.
It's a separation demon. And that's how the separation happens. And that's how we fight against each other. And we call each other names instead of calling each other by names.
Yeah. So I'm curious. So we know your brother is going to support Trump in the election.
Yes.
And I'm not going to ask you, because it's a personal question, but under which administration, the Trump Pence or the Biden-Harris administration, do you think it's going to be the most beneficial for this country the next 4 years?
Oh, easily the Biden-Harris, because of the incredible way people say the economy is thriving.
No, I don't think anybody's saying that.
Wall Street is thriving.
Yeah, there you go.
Who owns Wall Street? If you want to see a movie that will enlighten you, see the documentary called Heist.
Yeah.
Heist, the documentary, will show you how every country in the world basically has so many of their governments bought out by big corporations.
Yeah.
The ones who have the money. If you think about your 501, you know, C3 or whatever it is that you have, or whatever investment you have in the market, it's a tuppence. It's not even 1% of what the stock market does for the elite.
Yeah. So what is Biden? Biden do for the economy?
What?
What would Biden and Harris do for the economy?
He wouldn't send it so far backwards. Now, I'm not saying that the Democrats are saints at all, not even close. There's so many of them, and that's why there's a cycle. We're getting in some people that are more akin to the people. And they call them socialists, but when you look at the thriving countries in the world, they all have healthcare. I lived in Sweden. I'm one quarter Swede. There's no fear about your healthcare. You might be out of work, but you're helped. My wife, if she had children by me, would have been able to take a year off, and I could have taken a year off to bond with my child. Paid. And so how do they pay it? They pay a little bit more taxes than we do, but they get a hell of a lot more back. We don't.
If I'm hearing you correct, is Sweden a better economic model than the United States?
Oh, easily. Because we have an unabated capitalism. There's no restrictions like the Glass-Steagall Act was taken away. That's why we had the Wall Street debacle. My 70th birthday, I got to see the film about it. I walked in for the first time in my life I ever had a surprise birthday party. But right. That debacle was, nobody went to prison.
Exactly.
They were up in those companies that did this.
So
not a single person.
So America's economy and financial system is corrupt and run by criminals who benefit from it while the regular people like you and me suffer. That doesn't exist in Sweden?
Very, very little, because they actually participate in their government. When we all go out and vote, things change. When people, instead of marching, you march to the bloody voting booth.
Where, in Sweden?
Anywhere. They vote more per capita than we do.
Okay.
By far. We vote like 20%, 17% or somewhere like that.
Right.
Voted the last time.
But are their politicians honest? Because ours obviously aren't.
There's more politicians that are honest there because people actually go out and vote, and they listen to the people, and
they're more involved.
Done. For instance, I'll give you my background. I may have voted for Bernie because he, for me, was the one who walked his talk every single year. He's the only reason he got to be a millionaire is not because of what he got paid by these lobbies. It's because he published a book that got to be a bestseller. That's how he got to be a millionaire.
Well, how did he get to publish a book? you and me are both authors, and we're not millionaires. So this is how they launder money and they pay their friends, you know, to do what they're taking. So
he's not taking it from politicians, and he's not taking it from the lobbyists. He's getting it from the people, just like he didn't take money from big donors.
Well, I promise you one thing, Kerr. You give me one day, and I'll blow holes in this guy's not a crook, okay? Because every politician in this country is a crook, okay? I promise you that, and I'll prove it. You give me anybody's name, and give me one day, and I'll come back to you with enough proof to indict them. Uh-huh. So I really think, but back to this Biden-Harris administration, I mean, what do you think?
Isn't the alternative is the big deal, that we have no other.
So you're more of an anti-Trumper than a pro-Biden. Like that's how the country's split. Yeah. So let's talk about Trump. Yeah. But like I said, I'm not a fan of either one. Okay, yeah. So I can be more objective.
Not a fan of either one.
but what I see is, I see a lot of Trump bashing. I watched the opening of the DNC convention last night. A lot of Trump bashing, and that's their playbook. But what has Trump done wrong as a president? Besides these stupid-ass tweets, and he's a braggart, and he really doesn't make a lot of sense, what has he done wrong?
Okay. I'm asking only for you to judge like you would like to be treated.
Yeah, no problem.
What did he do with people who came across the border with their children?
Okay, well, I've covered...
People are still not united with their children, still.
But that's a lot of hype. First of all, the cages were built by Obama. When
Obama didn't do bad things. I'm not saying that. You asked me one thing.
I'm saying when you put yourself in his shoes, you're the president. You got tens of thousands of people crashing the border. Okay, you don't know who's being trafficked, who's really a child of these people. You got to straighten this mess out. You got to get some order. And you got to separate, and you got to ask questions, and you have a language barrier. And so
Why is it that you have to separate parents?
He didn't change the process by the Border Patrol. It's always been that way.
I didn't say that the Border Patrol were saying this. I'm saying that all these politicians are politicians. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
How much are we spending per capita or just simple things in prisons?
Well, way too much.
It's at least $80,000 a person because we have private prisons now. So yeah. Private corporations are being able to buy off more politicians because they have more right. money.
And who did that? The government, left and right. They both did it.
That. I've never said the government is not got right. the corruption. I've agreed with you every single time. Right. What I'm looking at, you asked me a question about Trump and then you jumped to Obama.
And I'm not disputing you, by the way. I'm just saying. That,
you jumped, most people do this same kind of thing.
Right.
They'll jump to, this other side does it too.
But let's stay on course here because Trump allegedly put kids in cages. So, but what else besides that has he done to ruin this country? I'm just curious.
To ruin this country?
Yeah.
He's divided it. He has not shut it down. He has not done what the countries that close down first and fastest and best have the best results.
So over this virus, your
size of the country doesn't matter where it is. It matters on the how the people do it.
Yeah.
So it takes leadership of a whole country to be able to take reins. He's supposed to be the leader of the country.
Yeah.
It's such a blood emergency, going to possibly kill millions of people. If it's that kind of an emergency, how is it that he can't say this is a national emergency? We got to do this.
But every year we have the flu season, correct?
I agree.
And so we have a flu season again. They call it SARS-2, COVID-19, whatever. And so, in your opinion, he's done a bad job of handling this flu season.
Yeah.
Okay. So he put kids in cages. But he hasn't really. I mean, I don't know what I would have done if I was president and we have this flu thing, conspiracy, whatever it is, plandemic, scamdemic, or real. It's just not a real emergency because very few people are dead. So whatever it is, it's a media event.
Okay.
But whatever it is,
if it's all false, let us look at solutions for the problems.
Yes.
People are not looking at solutions for Black Lives Matter. People are not looking at solutions for what caused those things.
Okay. Let's stay on that one.
When you look at Trevor Noah's domino talk. He's talking about how the social contract has been broken over and over and over again.
No doubt.
If you do, our men's team did a 21-day racial challenge. You can look up 21-day challenge and race online. There's a bunch of those listed, and it usually has anywhere from a 5-minute to an hour and a half or so kind of a thing that you can watch or hear or read. Mm-hmm. And our men's team did this, and our men's team, because we can't get together right now, we do Zoom calls, and we also every single day we would report to each other on emails what we saw, what we felt about it, mm-hmm. and what we may have learned about it. And only one person did not do that. Only one person. And he's supposed to be the man that wants to stress integrity.
Yeah.
But he wanted us to see a propaganda film. It's called Uncle Tom.
Okay.
And at the end of it, it's all about praising our president. And it's all about, if you look at, they said that the Republicans voted this in. It's only because some Republicans voted for it that the Civil Rights Bill got in. Or some Republicans voted for this, that particular bill got in. It wasn't the vast majority of them.
Of the Civil Rights Bill?
Instead of getting into the politics, Republican or Democrat doesn't matter.
Okay, let me ask you a question, because you brought up something very...
They're going after the crowd.
You brought something very near and dear to my heart, and you said it very succinctly and properly, that the social contract, especially with American African-American community, has been broken over and over and over. But my question for you, was it broken by white supremacists like you and me, or was it broken by the United States government?
Well, it could have been. Obviously, if you look at the KKK, they broke it all the time. You look at the government. So the government.
Broke the social contract with the African American community?
The government, obviously.
Okay.
Okay. Right. That includes the militarized police force now. I have a picture on my Facebook page of a dear friend, his Chief Phil. This man has his headdress on full, because he's a real elder. He's a wise man. And he's standing, and somebody took it from the other side. So here's these guys with their machine guns and batons and their flak jackets and their helmets and everything. And he's standing there looking them straight in the eye peacefully. And why is it that they need to have that? Why are we militarizing our police? Are we going to treat our citizens? We used to have peace officers in my day. Now we have police officers. I'll give you an example. They police it without even thinking. I turned left out of a Costco parking lot at 6:30 in the morning, no traffic between each signal. There was a sign saying no left turn across the street. I turned left anyway because there was no harm, no foul. And a motorcycle cop pulled me over and was going to give me a ticket. And he says, do you know what you did? I said, yes, I did this. He says, well, that's against the law. He says, I know that's against the law, but it's this time of day. And the reason is it doesn't back up traffic and it's safer because this is a 4-lane road. Da, 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 da. He says, I got to give you the ticket. I says, you don't have to give me the ticket. You're the first judge. Because he said, the judge is the one that decides. He was a police officer, not a peace officer. He didn't use common sense. And this is where we are in life today. We fight back rather than try to reason with each other.
But you just asked the question, why are we militarizing the police force? So yes. Why are we?
Because the military is selling the old used goods to our police.
But why?
Because the military industrial complex controls America. Eisenhower has said that, he warned that before he stopped being president.
So are you, what is this leading to? If you have a militarized police that's overseeing your citizens, where are we headed?
It's leading to fascism.
Okay.
Easily. You saw this with President Trump when he walks over from the White House to this church with his bloody Bible routine.
Yeah.
And how many people got hurt because of it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they got hurt because they were protesting and they got in the way. So
we have number one amendment. First amendment lets us do that.
But 50 years ago, people respected people. They get out of the way. They let him do a stupid thing, and he goes back to the White House. No one gets harmed. But, man, I cover Seattle. I cover Portland. I have a business in Oakland. We were, we had $100,000 in damage done to our business. So
my friend was at REI in Santa Monica, and they went through that, too.
But correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that the Democratic cities and the Democratic states are the one that are allowing this to take place and then going to the federal government and asking for taxpayer and bailout money. Am I wrong or is that pretty accurate?
I may not be wrong, but we're trying to get at the issue of it. The issue is inequality. The issue is—
No doubt, it's injustice.
I'll give you an example, my personal life.
Yeah.
I started teaching in 1969 in February in East LA, Ghetto Junior High School. 3 years at the most, I was able to buy a BMW, pick it up in Europe, tour with my wife through 3 months throughout 13 countries in Europe, ship it back, all on my salary.
Yeah.
I retired in 2016, I couldn't have done that on the amount of money I was making. Why is it that my income didn't go up as much as the people at the top of the scale went up? Why is it that all these people who are running school districts are making so much money as opposed to the people who are in the trenches? It's the common person that sucks it up, doesn't go out and vote because they think their vote doesn't count. We get to get out the vote to be able to have at least the least of two evils, at least that now. Because if we get one, it's going to be worse. So when we get this, the thing that people aren't looking at is the senators and representatives that are going to get elected, that are going to change the House and Senate one way or another. And it can be progressives, people who are thinking more about the people, who are maybe democratic socialists, maybe. But if you look up socialism, Christ would have been called a socialist. Moses would have been called a socialist.
But neither one of those guys would be in these cities beating the hell out of innocent people.
That's right. They would be turning the other cheek, and they would be turning to be able to help the people get fed.
So these aren't socialists.
It's like Mother Teresa, who has been rated a saint now in the Catholic Church. I know, because many years ago I was Catholic. Now I'm more Catholic than when I was Catholic, because Catholic means universal. So this saint, I missed seeing her by 30 minutes. But this saint would not go to an anti-war rally. Never. But she would go to a pro-peace rally. Never anti-anything. She was always about pro. What can we do positive? So this is the key to every single day you step out in the world. What can I do positively today? What can I do to take action instead of bitch about the problem, instead of point out, my brother sends me all kinds of shit. And it's all about, I have a friend that shows me a picture of a guy, a so-called postman, dumping post in the trash. Well, I could have done that. I could have dressed up like a postman, dump it in the trash, get a photo op, and say, this is what's happening today. And people take that and run with it and say, this is happening everywhere.
I think all your brother's saying is there's voter fraud, and it's possible, and it happens. And so we could, both sides can.
There's less voter fraud than there is voter suppression.
Here's where I want to go with this, is that I get what you're saying. I love what you're saying. I mean, I wrote a book. It's all about positiveness. It's about the manifestation law of attraction. I believe in all this. But I think that people are so overwhelmed right now that it's all for taking care of ourselves. We need to take care of our physical body with good sunshine. That's why I find everything interesting. You know, they want to keep us indoors. They want to put a mask over our face, and they want a social distance. All three are bad for our immune system.
There's another key factor. Don't ever call it social distancing. That's what they want. They want you to be socially distant. They don't want you to talk. They don't want you to know that this other person is a human being.
Well, but that's what they're doing. People are doing that. Okay.
Somebody wanted everybody to be socially distant rather than physically distant.
I understand.
There's a big difference. And again, I'd like to prompt you to really walk that talk you're talking about.
Yeah.
This is the biggest key is focusing on what we can do.
Yeah.
You don't have to bring up the bad. Everybody else is bringing up the bad.
We need solutions. We need solutions. And I love, you have some great solutions for the individual. Fantastic. But I think the society around us is disintegrating before our very eyes. And if there is no society, it's going to eventually affect the individual. That's my concern. It's already affecting the individual.
There's when we change, like the simple thing of getting living values. I'll send you an email about character inclusion. When we get character development, not only in schools, where I was at a ghetto school that had the biggest gang in the valley. Our physical education program that I helped develop starting in 1993 was about strengthening character, fit for life, and fun. And it became rated the only middle school ever twice to be rated the best in the state. Why? Because we stressed character. We never had to have a police officer on campus for all the years until they mandated it through the district. We didn't still need it, but they mandated it happening. Why? Because character development stops the bullshit. 90% reduction in violence at a refugee camp. The woman went down to Johannesburg, where my wife is from. Mm-hmm. She went down to South Africa, designed a program for street people. Street people. Transients, similar kinds of results.
Listen, Kurt.
The two values that they stress are peace and love, those two. When we come from peace and love, what do we get? When we come from fear and hate, what do we get? I have a podcast that I did for somebody. It's called Slaying the Separation Demon. And I don't like the title. That was a podcast. Slaying is not a good idea because we're buying into that violence stuff.
Yeah.
So what we do is maybe we can dissolve the separation demon. The only way we dissolve the separation demon is not verbalizing it so much. Have the inclusive we instead of me, or have the inclusive we instead of I. Become royal like the queen. Speak the queen's English. Why? Because when I is in we, yep. it's, I'm in we, so are you. But when we help positive people think more positively, or negative people think a little bit more positively, then we focus on what we can get, because a man's reach should exceed his grasp.
Kurt, I love your positiveness. Where can our listeners, we only got a minute left, where can listeners learn more about your work, and how can they get a hold of you?
Two things. Success Systems International, it's plural, systems, successsystemsinternational.net. You can also look up my name and Success Systems International, and I'll give you just about anything you want. I'd love to talk with anybody. We get to change the world by simply maybe just one person at a time. But I have in my presentations around the world, I have a great example of that that could make the Empire State Building fall.
Amen. I love it. Stay tuned. I'm going to say goodbye to the audience. I'll be right back with you. Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, I hope you enjoyed this unique presentation we had for you today. Kurt is a super positive guy with a lot of techniques. I really endorse learning how to meditate, freeing the mind. You know, I talk all the time about moving from here to here, and living here is where your truth is. And the more of us that can do this, the more that we can do good work in the world to overcome all the adversity that's hitting us in the face right now. I'm going to be gone next week, so we're going to do a week of Willie. You know, many of you watch Jim Willie. I think we had thousands and thousands of views the 2 days he was on with me the last time I was in Idaho. So I'm in Idaho next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We're going to do a whole week of Jim Willie, a week with Willie, every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 5:03 p.m. Pacific. Transformation Talk Radio, live stream here at Mike Murphy Unfiltered YouTube channel. Until then, go out there, have a great week, a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday at 5. God bless everyone.
You've been listening to Get Real with Mike Murphy. We all need to wake up before it's too late. Learn to question everything, open your mind, and own your power. For more information on Mike and his work, visit MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.